Hello, and thank you for joining the EDAM Forum Media Briefing. This event is being recorded and will be posted on the ISO's webpage at kaiso.com shortly after the event. This briefing is for credentialed media only. Today we have Elliot Manzer, President and CEO of the California ISO, Stefan Berg, President and CEO of Pacific Power, Stephen Powell, President and CEO of Southern California Edison, and Jim Shetler, General Manager of the Balancing Authority of Northern California. Elliot will provide some comments on the EDAM effort, and after the update, there will be an opportunity to ask questions about the EDAM. If you're interested in other topics with today's speakers, we ask that you reach out to their communication departments after the briefing. During the question portion, we ask that you introduce yourself by name and affiliation. Try to be concise so we can get to as many questions as possible in the allotted time. At this time, we're waiting for our speakers to settle into the room, so we'll get started shortly.
Well, good morning, and I wanted to thank all of you for participating in our Extended Day Ahead Market Forum today. I'm Elliot Manzer. I'm the President and CEO of the California Independent System Operator, and I'm very pleased to be joined this morning for this media briefing by Stefan Berg, the President of Pacific Power, also Jim Shetler, the General Manager of the Balancing Authority of Northern California, and our most newly announced future participants in the Extended Day Ahead Market. Wonderful news today, Jim. And also Steve Powell, the President and CEO of Southern California Edison, who've all been just fabulous partners and collaborators with us as we've worked to develop the Extended Day Ahead Market. We're very, very pleased today to have so many energy leaders from across the West participating as we continue our work to create a fully integrated Western market that can bring reliability, economic, and clean energy benefits to everyone we serve in the region. So we're looking forward to answering any questions that you may have. It's wonderful energy here today in Las Vegas, and excited to spend some time with you. Robert's here in person, if you want to start us off. Yeah.
So Jim, you made the announcement today.
Yes.
And I'm curious as to go into a little more depth as to what banks can make that decision at this point.
So the question is, what brought bank to make our decision and make our announcement? We've been evaluating markets for some time, probably for 10 years. We were a participant in the old MC effort in the Northwest. We decided to, and we're glad we did, participate in the energy imbalance market. We've seen great benefits from that, not just financially, but I think also from a reliability standpoint and for helping to meet our decarbonization goals. From my members' perspective is, okay, what's next? And what are the options for what's next? And the other dynamic here is, as markets evolve, if you're not in a market, you do run the risk of are you losing your counterparties for trading going forward. That was certainly a decision for some of my members when we joined WEIM. So we did our evaluation, looked at the options. We considered Markets Plus. But when we looked at where we're located, I think the main driver for any market decision is, what are your transmission capabilities and who you're interconnected with? And we have tremendous interconnection capability with the ISO through our footprint. And it just made sense for us when we did our evaluation, both from a cost standpoint and a potential benefit standpoint, that EDAM came out as the clear winner.
And just to follow up on that a little bit, so I've been following you from the BPA side, and BPA they've used this term of verticality and ability for the day-ahead market to become an RTO. So the decision factor for them,
right,
seems rather important. How much of that is in weighing in as weighing in this decision?
I think my members view this as an RTO may or may not be in our future. It is not a end goal in and of itself, but we want to make sure that as we look at market options, that we at least have a market option that would allow us to go there if we wanted to. I think that EDAM could evolve into an RTO if we wanted it to. I also think there's the ability that perhaps an RTO could get created, but there might be some of us who want to just stay at EDAM and not go to an RTO. So I think that optionality is important to us, and I think that that relationship with the ISO helps us in that area.
Deegan, are there any questions on the line?
I'm not showing any questions at this time. If you would like to ask a question, please dial #2 on your telephone keypad. You'll hear a notification when your line is unmuted, at which point please state your name, the publication you work for, and your question. All right, looks like we do have a caller in queue. Caller, your line is unmuted.
Hi, this is Rob Nicoleski from the San Diego Union Tribune. Gentlemen, it'd be very important for you to introduce yourself before you start talking. So who, after Elliot spoke, who spoke next and who spoke after that?
That was Robert Mullen. I'm a reporter with RTO Insider. And I apologize for that.
And I apologize as well. This is Jim Shetler with the Balancing Authority of Northern California.
Thank you.
Are there any other hands raised on the line?
I'm not showing any other hands raised at this time.
Okay, so I'll ask another question, and I feel like I'm grilling Jim Shetler right now. This is Robert Holmes, RTO Insider, in part because of the comments that you made during the CEO roundtable that we just had, and anyone else can weigh in on this as well. But you mentioned that there isn't 5 years to make a decision, 12 months.
I think if you look at where people are at in their decision-making process throughout the West, I think there are going to be people that have to make some serious decisions about where am I going in the next 12 months. Am I going to go with Markets Plus? Am I going to invest in that alternative or not? Or am I going to go with the ISO? And I think, though we're comfortable with the governance approach as it is today, clearly, there are those out there, my brethren in the industry, who are not. And I think if our goal is to try to attract them or at least consider this option, then we need to at least have put some meat on the bones, as I said earlier, on what that option might look like, how that might evolve, what processes might be used to get there, so they can at least feel comfortable that they could head in that direction and seize that independence that they're looking for. And by the way, this is Jim Shetler again.
Do either of you have any thoughts on the timeline? Do you feel like the next 12 months are critical?
Well, I'll speak for PacifiCorp. This is Stefan Bird, President and CEO of Pacific Power, which is the Western division of PacifiCorp. And I also, in that role, oversee our transmission function and the market operations, which EIM and EDAM are all a part. So I said it many times, I think, in the roundtable, I'll maybe repeat it here. You know, we have a high sense of urgency to deliver benefits as much as we can, as fast as we can, and those come in the form that Jim just described. You know, it's lower costs, it's reliability, and it's faster decarbonization. And you know, we've seen the benefits of the EIM, and we've seen the benefits grow as the footprint has grown. And as we're adding more renewables, you know, to the system, it's just bigger and bigger benefits that we can deliver and keeping the lights on, lowering costs. And so we want to, you know, double those benefits if we can. In effect, that's more or less what the models show if we are moving to a day-ahead market, and certainly depends on the size of the footprint. But again, we cover 6 regulated states, 10 states that we touch with our transmission grid. And so we, you know, view our role in part as an enabler, you know, for others to actually have transmission paths between, say, the Northwest and the Southwest and East to West, as well as joining the 2 largest grid operators in the West between the CalISO and PacifiCorp system, you know, is a strong start. But the benefits are certainly much greater the more parties that join, which is what we've seen with the EIM.
And this is Steve Powell, Southern California Edison. I would say that I'm not sure that there's hard deadlines or specific timelines that everybody's decisions have to be made on in the very near term. but we definitely lean towards a sense of urgency so that we can get clarity for those that do need to move faster. We believe that, you know, we don't want California to be just its own market. If there's a broader market, if there's broader markets to be had in the West, California needs to be a key part of that. When you look at decarbonization, the amount of electrification that's going to happen, the amount of new renewables that are going to be built on the system, we believe those bigger, broader markets are critical to managing affordability for customers, but also ensuring reliability, not just on that, not just on the integration renewables, but how we manage through what are going to be more challenging heat waves in the West as climate change continues to advance. That collection of challenges requires broader integrated markets. To the extent that a number of our peers in the West are going to be making decisions sooner or need information sooner, then I think we owe it to them to lay all the options out. And so I do think there needs to be a sense of urgency around getting visibility on what California or the broader Western governors may come up with in terms of independence of governance. Those are important factors. We don't want to start losing, losing potential partners because we don't have clarity around some of those issues.
Tegan, any hands raised on the line?
We do have a caller in queue. Caller, your line is unmuted.
Hi, this is Dan Catchpole with News Data's Clearing Up. As following up on the comments regarding governance, especially for Elliot, John Harrison made very pointed comments about concerns with governance during the CEO roundtable. So based on what Mr. Powell just said and John Harrison's comments, do you feel that there, like, you guys need to have some more clarity or more action from CAISO about the governance structure here, the assuring finding an independent governance structure to get broader buy-in from the West?
Well, thanks, Dan, and this is Elliot. I would honestly probably just echo, quite frankly, what Steve just said. I think, we're as the grid operator, we're not the entity that's defining the governance model. You know, that's not our role. We're focusing on the physics and the economics of the system and trying to structure energy markets and optimize the transmission system to provide reliability and affordability benefits. And I think we certainly agree that I think every major study has proven that the West is going to do better if that market extends across that broad footprint and certainly integrates with California and the broader West. And that's our focus. That's our EDAM design, building on the incredibly successful platform of the energy imbalance market of which BPA is a member. The governance conversation, I think, is something that's happening. We've heard today, we're encouraged that conversation is moving into a next level. We, like others, will stand ready to support that as necessary, and certainly I think we know that those issues are important for a number of the market participants, and getting them addressed with some level of urgency seems appropriate.
Any additional questions? Was it? Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. Am I still on mute? Can I ask a follow-up question?
We can hear you. Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay. Thanks. So, Elliot, I mean, I guess I was thinking more just in terms of putting CAISO's weight behind it, pushing for action from the legislature to create that independence. I mean, is that something that it's not your decision ultimately, but to really put CAISO's weight behind pushing for more independent governance?
You know, the weight is with the folks in the political space and the regulatory space. I mean, that's really where at the end of the day, for us, and certainly everybody's going to have their voice. We know that there's a broad group of stakeholders that are going to want to participate in that process, and where we can be helpful, we will be helpful. But it's, you know, we're the independent system operator, we're the grid operator, we're not going to be the ones at the end of the day designing the governance proposal. So I don't think it's really a question of our weight. It's really providing support to the folks representing the governors of the different states across the West to make sure that conversation proceeds and develops the level of substance that I think people are looking for.
Any follow-up questions? Okay. Tegan, any additional hands raised on the phone line?
I'm not showing any other callers in queue at this time.
Okay, and if you do want to ask a question, go ahead and press pound 2. That'll add you to the queue.
Mm-hmm. I had a question about, this is Robert Mullen, RTM Insider. A lot of discussion about resource adequacy, obviously, in the West. It's a long-term discussion. There's discussion today about that. Stefan, I think you mentioned that that the solutions aren't necessarily, the markets aren't necessarily going to develop, they're not designed to create resource adequacy. I'm not sure if you remember that.
I think I said that.
You might have said that, yes. So is there, given that organized markets are supposed to essentially give price signals for resource adequacy, will the day-ahead market be able to help address that issue by expanding into that, or is there going to be more of a need for integration with the wrap?
Well, I would say two things. So first of all, the price signals in the West are already signaling scarcity, right? Even without a fully developed extended day-ahead market, our existing markets, both the California markets and the bilateral markets, have been at very, very high electric prices just this summer. People are paying a lot for energy. That's reflecting the fact that there is scarcity. I will say, you know, certainly today representing, you know, in California, we have worked, and I think our regulatory community in California and our utilities have taken unbelievable steps in the last several years to make sure that California is meeting its resource adequacy requirements. I think almost 10,000 megawatts of procurement in the last several years, with, as you've seen, you know, multiple thousands of megawatts, including 6,000 megawatts of dispatchable batteries and an incredible amount of clean energy coming in the system. So California taking care of business on resource adequacy, absolutely essential. And then, of course, the Western Resource Adequacy Program is you know, I think, a really important initiative for broader portion of the West as well. So the RA programs, really, they unequivocally will respond to the price signals, but the market is an indicator of what's actually happening in terms of scarcity or surplus. If we get into a situation when the system's well overbuilt, when we're in oversupply condition, then prices will come down. So we're very focused on making sure that the resource adequacy programs continue to evolve, they continue to establish. Also, as you'll hear later today, looking to make sure that, first of all, the EDAM is very seamlessly interoperable with the Western Resource Adequacy Program, as it's already designed to be interoperable with the California Resource Adequacy Programs, and also to look for opportunities to make sure that you don't have folks leaning on each other over time, that we're meeting equivalent standards, and that we're all showing up with sufficiency. The market will then come on board and take advantage of the ability to optimize those resources and to take advantage of the geographical diversity that exists, just like what we saw a couple of weeks ago. You remember last year, September 6th, California has its all-time record-setting heat and demand, and, you know, it was in record-setting drought in California, and we were able to use the energy market to dispatch energy from different parts of the West to help California. Well, this summer, in July and August, the tables are completely turned. Almost remarkably, a year later, California has its all-time record snowpack, 244% of average. The Pacific Northwest, all that water that would normally end up in Canada is in the Sierra Nevada. Columbia is having a well below average water year. And as you heard this morning, the desert Southwest has 30 days of above 110-degree temperatures in Phoenix, Arizona. It's been relatively mild in California, a little bit hot, but we haven't had excessive demand in California. But we've been in the position this year to be able, through the energy market, to support those other regions as well in the way that they support us. And that, again, gets back to the central focus of make sure your resource adequacy programs are getting the resources on board, everybody has that ownership, and then the market can really take advantage of the diversity so that when we all run into those periods of strain, we can support each other.
Any questions on the phone line?
Well, we do have a caller in queue. Caller, your line is unmuted.
Thanks. It's Dan Cashpole again. So I was curious for Stefan and Jim, do you think, since you guys have committed to EDAM, are you encouraging your other your counterparts at other utilities to really, it's better for the West to have one day ahead market, then have two competing day ahead markets with that introduces the problem of seams and other interoperability headaches? Or is that something that you're advocating for, that everybody should be getting on board with EDAM?
I'll start with that. Stefan Berg with Pacific Power. Ultimately, yes. I think the physics are there. I think somewhat obvious when you have all the hydro in the Northwest and the solar in the Southwest and a lot of wind in the Rockies and a little bit of everything scattered around the West, overlaying with time zones and different loads that occur along with just the daily cycles of solar and storm seasons that come through, the more that we can leverage that one machine. The one machine is the entire Western U.S. Those are artificial lines that we draw sometimes in some of these discussions that we want to optimize some region. But as you get down to a smaller region, there's simply less diversity and highly correlated assets that aren't going to capture the same kind of benefits than if we could leverage the abundant diversity that exists across that entire footprint. So the physics are there, the transmission's there, we do connect it. And so, we certainly encourage others to look very hard at the opportunity. And to the governance question, again, as that topic has come up for us, we look at EDAM much like EIM, where it's a voluntary market, unlike an RTO, that's mandatory with a whole array of really challenging things for folks to get over. In the EIM and the EDAM, they're both voluntary markets with a low exit fee and a low entry fee and a low exit fee. And that makes it, I think, a very different commercial judgment to say, can I capture benefits for my customers and take advantage of what's available now? And if for some reason you don't like the outcome of a governance decision, well, you've got the commercial right to exit. And again, that's quite different prospect than in a RTO situation that I think is not likely to happen anytime soon, even if there was interest in pursuing it. That is another very big tent, challenging maneuver. And I think there's other things that can be done along the way as we leverage the benefits of the EIM and a day-ahead market, consolidating balancing areas, common tariffs. There's other things that are also possible to further streamline our ability to leverage that abundant diversity across the West. So yes and yes.
So this is Jim Schrentler, and I'll just say yes.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you again for joining this media briefing. The recording will be on kaiso.com. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That concludes our conference. Thank you for using Event Services. You may now disconnect.